Hello, you're about to listen to a radio program which was originally broadcast in New York State. These programs are brought to you by the Tri-County Church of Christ, north of Watertown on Highway 11, next to Fort Drum. You can find us on the web at ChristIsTheWay.com. Hello, we're glad you're listening to our program today. My name is Tom Rainwater. We have with us today a special guest, Gary Copeland from Madison, Alabama. Glad to have you here, Gary.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Tom.
The question we're going to ask today is, how do we determine truth? Some people think that spiritual truth is unattainable or elusive. Others think that truth is subjective, that is, it's going to be different for each individual person or society or culture. Others think that truth is invested in the church, that is, it originates with some kind of church hierarchy. Still others think that spiritual truth is found apart from man solely in the Bible. And so, Gary, as we're talking about truth today, how do we determine spiritual truth?
That's such an excellent question, and we have to come to terms with that. And there's an illustration that I love to use that helps me understand how to measure or how to determine truth. The illustration goes something like this, that I inherited some woodworking tools from my grandfather when he died, and the tools came with an old board made out of hickory wood. I know that with just a little work, I could make a nice shelf out of it, so I've kept it around, hoping that someday I'll be able to fit it into my kitchen. And I know that before I actually work with it and stain it and decorate the edges and get it all ready to put on the wall, I'll have to find out how long it is to make sure it'll go in that place. I've got this board right here on the desk, and this is a hickory board, and we need to find out how long it is. There might be several different ways to find out how long it is. How about you tell me, how long is that board, Tom?
Oh, I don't know. I would say maybe about, 16 inches or so?
Maybe. Okay. So you're just, just guessing at it?
Yeah. That's just a guess.
Why'd you guess 16 inches?
Well, because it looks, longer than a ruler and not quite as long as, say, 24 inches. So kind of in the middle of there, maybe about 16.
Okay. So just going based on what you know about measurements and things that you've seen measured before, you're just making your best educated guess at it. Now, if we had 10 people here, we could get all them to guess, too. How many different guesses do you think we might get?
Well, I don't know. There would be some people who might agree, but I would say that there'd be quite a lot of difference in opinion.
Yeah, I've actually done this before in small groups, and it's a lot of fun. You might even get as many as 8 or 10 different guesses out of 10 different people, because everybody's just guessing. And that's understandable. But then I change the illustration a little, and I say, okay, now what if your life was on the line, and you had to know and be accurate about how long that board is? Would you be willing to bet your life on 16 inches, that 16 inches is correct?
No, I wouldn't base my life on that guess, that's for sure.
No, and I've never had anybody take me up on that offer either. That'd be crazy to put your life on the line. So what would you do? How would you actually measure it?
Well, I think I'd have to get my ruler out and then just see exactly how long it is.
And that's so obvious. I mean, if we needed to know, like if we were fitting it into the kitchen, or if the stakes were even higher than the work that I might invest in that board, if the stakes were high, we would want to put an end to all confusion and all doubt and just measure it. And we know what to use to measure a board. We just get out a tape measure. We know that a tape measure is accepted as a standard by everyone who tries to measure anything, and we trust the tape measure. Once we have some basic understanding of how to read the measure, we lay it up against the board, and the question is resolved. There's no more discussion, no more confusion. But let's think back for a minute to those maybe 8 different guesses that we got out of 10 different people. And let me get back to why you guessed what you did. It was just an educated guess for you. I've had people say, when I ask them, why did you guess such and such measurement? They simply say, like you did, well, that just looks right to me. Other people have said, well, I just wanted to go along with him or her. Maybe it was a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they didn't want to be disagreeable. Other people have said, well, I just wanted to be different. So simply for the purpose of being different, they make a different guess. Now, let's just stop and realize, because the illustration will help us with spiritual things here in a minute. But when it comes to a piece of wood, all those different reasons for guessing doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the length of the board. The board is still as long as it is, even if my girlfriend guesses a certain length that's different from what I guess. Even if somebody comes along and just wants to be different, they come up with a different answer. Maybe it's their favorite number, and so they guess that. Well, that doesn't make the board be that long. At the same time, we can't say, okay, let's just vote on it. Who believes that it's 18 inches? Okay, we get two people saying that. Who believes that it's 17 inches? We get four people believing that. And who believes it's some other measurement? We don't get as many people guessing that. And so four people guessing 17 inches, that's got to be the measurement. Well, that's nuts. Nobody would think that the board somehow magically becomes that length simply because the majority of the people that we had there at the time guessed that same length. And at the same time, it's not the length that the fewest number of people guess either, just because that's some kind of rare number, or, ooh, that must be right because not many people were able to see it that way. Now, you remember that that board came from my grandfather in the illustration. What if my grandfather had told me that he thought that board was 4 feet long? Well, then I might go along for a very long time, number of years perhaps, believing that board to be that length. Now you tell me, does the board become that length just because of the length of time that I have believed it to be that length?
Oh, no, not at all.
No, it doesn't change it. It just means I've been wrong for that long. So we know that the majority guess does not determine the length. The minority guess does not determine the length. The length of time that I've believed it does not determine the length. Now, you remember that this board came from my grandfather. He's a special person in my life. And far be it from me to disagree with him. He's an important person. Well, what if there was someone even more important than he? How about the President of the United States? He comes along and we say, Mr. President, we're trying to figure out the length of this board. Can you tell us? And just off the top of his head, or just out of his own best educated guess, he says the board is 19 inches long. What are we going to do? Say, okay, very good, the board is 19 inches long, just because he's the president. Well, we can't say, oh, no way, that cannot be 19 inches long, because I disagree with his politics, and so I don't agree with anything he says. It didn't change it one way or the other, just because of how important he is, because we still have a way to measure the board and know the answer and put an end to all this discussion.
And so, Gary, I'm curious, how long is this board that we have here?
Well, and it does come down to that. Finally, you do have to measure it. You have to face up to the measurement, and you have to face up to the fact that somebody, maybe even all of us, have been wrong, and that there is one right answer, and that we can agree on this answer. So here's the board. Now let's pull out the standard, which we know to be the tape measure. We lay it up here against the board. That's interesting. Look, 20 inches long.
Oh, that's 4 inches off.
And some people get so preoccupied with that fact that, oh, I've been wrong. Or they just deny it. No, I couldn't have been wrong about that. And so they figure out some way to reject it, or say that their guess was close enough, even though the guess was obviously not right, and it wouldn't work in making my kitchen, but they decide somehow to justify themselves in their answer.
Well, you know, it would be foolish to argue with the ruler, because if the ruler says 20 inches, as it has, and I still say 16, my original guess, it makes me look foolish, because that's the standard that's set. And if somebody comes along and they say that, well, you know, that does say 20 inches, but that's just too narrow.
Right.
That's just too narrow an interpretation of that. Well, that would be foolish. If the ruler says that, then that's what it is.
And I've had some people say, but I just so sincerely believe that it's got to be different from that. I cannot accept the idea that it's 20. It's got to be different because I just really believe that deep down. It's nice to be sincere in what we do, but it doesn't change the length of the board. And one other related point is that some people decide that because we have 8 different guesses from 10 different people, they decide that the length cannot be known.
Okay, Gary, what is the application of all this to spiritual truth?
Well, there may be several different applications. For one thing, the illustration helps us explain why there are so many different churches. Because primarily people are out there willing to guess. And they make their different guesses for a wide variety of different reasons. And we also find people who are willing to listen to others read and explain God's will for them. That'd be like me handing the ruler to you and saying, well, you know, I don't know, you measure it for me, Tom. But if my life is on the line, I would never do that. And I've done that with people in small groups. I've said, okay, here, I'll measure it for you. And I show them how careful I'm being and say, okay, I give them a number and I say, do you believe me when I say it's such and such length? And they say, no, if their life is on the line, they're not going to trust me. And that's as it should be. But with spiritual matters, it's not just that our life is on the line, our souls are on the line. So how much more should we want to measure it for ourselves? And we want the confidence of seeing from the standard of truth that a certain answer is sure enough indeed the truth. Because of the consequences that are going to come from deciding on a certain number, we need to know for ourselves.
Gary, if the ruler is the standard for measurement as far as measuring objects, what is the standard for measuring truth? How do we determine what the truth is?
There can only be one answer to that question, Tom. The Bible is the standard, and we can trust it, we can read it, we can understand it. When Jesus talked about truth and the measure for it in his prayer to God in John 17, he said about his disciples, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17.
Gary, we can also consider 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, where Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there are several points to be made from this passage. First of all, we know that Scripture, all of it, is given by God. God is the origin of the Scriptures. All the words that we read in the Bible are inspired of Him. And we see in the passage what Scripture is for, what it is designed to do. It is profitable for doctrine, and that's just teaching. For reproof, that's pointing out error. For correction, that is telling us how to straighten out the error. And for instruction in righteousness, just simply showing us how to be righteous. That's the purpose for Scripture, to do these things. And so we see that Scripture is the standard of measurement by which we see what to teach about doctrine, about reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Another passage that comes to mind as well is in that same epistle, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, Paul tells Timothy to hold fast the pattern. You see, his words were meant as a pattern to follow. It's a standard. And so whatever we are given in Scripture, that's what we're to adhere to.
Yeah, that's really a great scripture on this topic. In fact, there's so many different passages that talk about the truth having been delivered, and that all being in the past tense. I think of Jude verse 3, it says that the faith was once for all delivered to the saints. There's also one in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 that says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the revelation is complete, and that's important because what was written down then, back in the first century, served as the pattern not only for those churches, but for us today.
Another passage that goes along with that as well is in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Ephesians 3, verse 3, where Paul says, "How that by revelation he, speaking of God, made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And basically, Paul is saying that God has inspired me, and I wrote these words down, and when you read them, you will know the mind of God. Just another quick passage there in Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and verse 17, where Paul says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So certainly we can read the written scripture inspired by God and understand the truth.
Isn't that great? You can learn to read the ruler. The ruler is the scriptures, and it's not meant to be confusing. It's meant for us to read and understand the will of God. So many folks have decided that they cannot understand it.
And what Paul says here is in the form of a command. You are to understand.
You know, that makes me think of one fellow that I sat with him in Austin, Texas, and we watched parts of three different preachers on TV, and they had irreconcilably different messages. And that fellow just sat there and nodded through the whole thing, saying, "Yep, sounds right to me. Yep, that sounds pretty good." And I thought, if one sounds good, the others can't be good. They can't all be right. That board has to have one certain measurement. Read that ruler and understand what the will of the Lord is. It reminds me of another fellow that I met, and I read him a simple passage. I felt like it was easy to understand, where Jesus himself, in Mark 16, verse 16, Mark 16:16, says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And the fellow looked at me with just an honest but blank stare, and he simply admitted, "I don't know how to understand that." I think in his case, he had had so many other people telling him what the ruler was saying, supposedly. And what a shame, because God gives us his will to understand. And like you point out, puts it in the form of a command. Understand what the will of the Lord is. There's a related passage one chapter before that in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. I think naive people such as myself always assume that whatever is being taught is being put forth sincerely, that the person saying it really genuinely believes what they're saying. But this passage in Ephesians 4, verse 14, says that's not the case, that there is the trickery of men. Some people tell you different lengths of the board simply so they can have a following, or simply so they'll tell you what you want to hear. So you'll agree with them. Maybe they have some personal gain at stake. Unfortunately, there are a lot of insincere and dishonest reasons for preaching what is preached. I've heard of folks who engage in religious debate, and they tell you privately that they understand that such and such is the truth, but they know that if they preached that, oh boy, now they're worried about the consequences. They'd get fired from their job or whatever it is. And so, in dishonesty, they are fundamentally not following what they know to be the truth in what they preach. And boy, there are several passages that warn us, besides Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, about that very thing. There's another passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just after you left off reading about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's at the end of 2 Timothy 3. The thought continues through the next verses. But then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, he tells why this minister of the Word should be so always ready to use the word to its full capacity. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." What a sobering and scary thought that there are teachers gathering, being heaped up, even in schools and seminaries, I would submit, for the sole purpose of scratching people's itching ears, telling them what they want to hear. There are several passages about this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely." What a scary thought. You really have to know to read the ruler for yourself. Because, frankly, whether I say it, obviously the folks listening to this don't know me, whether it's someone that they trust, no matter who it is telling them an answer, they have the responsibility, each one of us does, to pull out the ruler, measure it for ourselves, and understand what the will of the Lord is.
And so we see that the standard for truth is the Bible, and that truth is found only in the Bible. It doesn't come from men at all. It doesn't come from some church hierarchy. It comes from the Lord, that we can sit down and read Scripture and know the truth. Truth is not subjective either. It's not something that we as individuals decide on for ourselves. It's a set standard for all, just as that ruler was a set standard for all concerning the measurement of items. Truth is there. It's not elusive or unattainable. Romans 10 and verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we need to hear the word of God. We need to study our Bibles. And from that comes faith. And here we're not talking about faith only. We're talking about a faith that obeys. A faith that says, "All right, Jesus has told me to do these certain things, and therefore I will do them."
Well, that's a point well made, because Paul doesn't try to give us everything about the plan of salvation in one chapter. Romans chapter 6 emphasizes the point at which we become a Christian. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." We have a new life in Christ when we become his slave, when we're baptized into his death. Like you say, we're not going to do that until we hear the word that gives us faith, that gives us something to confess that Jesus is Lord. And when we are buried with him in baptism into death, we rise to walk in newness of life as a Christian, pure and simple. And that's consistent with what we had read earlier. And that is the very explanation that my poor friend was missing when I read, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." The truth has not changed in 2,000 years since the writing of the apostles. We can still become a Christian today the way they became a Christian then. And we don't have to worry that somehow it's going to change before our grandchildren become grown, and that they're going to have to stay tuned and hear something different or be saved in a different way. The plan of God has been fixed since the time of Jesus. It was once for all delivered to us. And now it's up to us to seek it out in his scriptures, which are inspired by him, and to understand his will. I guess if I had a couple of passages for us to consider in parting. I would want us to think about Matthew chapter 13. There are two very short illustrations or parables given in Matthew 13 about the importance of the kingdom of God. And this relates to the importance of our measuring or determining the truth of God for our lives. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Proverbs 23:23 tells us to buy the truth and do not sell it.